Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
And this is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Both the Ravens, nevermore.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell, and today I'm joined, as always, by Tempest, the wrestler.
I am Tempest.
You are
the wrestler.
The wrestler. Yeah, there it is. Hi, how's it going today, mate?
It's going all right. I had to cover an extra show last night. Thank you so much, NBA playoff for CW on to Fridays. That being said, I actually enjoyed that show. So, Pete, you know, I know we're not exactly the people that run this channel, this company and whatnot, but what do you say about making the executive decision to just review AEW Dynamite instead of SmackDown?
I get the feeling that might be a one-person review, I think, considering I haven't seen Dynamite because I was watching SmackDown for this review. So maybe we'll just flip back and forth. I'll do a segment of SmackDown, you do a segment of Dynamite. I do a segment of SmackDown, you do a segment of Dynamite, and it will be flawless.
Yeah, it would be flawless. It would be a 50% better review than if we just talked about SmackDown.
Unfortunately, that's not what we're going to do. We are just going to talk about SmackDown as usual. We should just get in and start talking about the show. So let's do that. What we're actually going to be talking about first is more of an overarching point of, is SmackDown actually good? Let's talk about it. So, is SmackDown actually good? Is, I feel like, a very inflammatory question, right? And I understand that. I get it. Because even on this show, both of us have been praising SmackDown heavily for quite a while. And I feel like even in recent months, going to the tail end of last year and going into this year, you've had some really good stuff on the show, even excluding the very obvious positive of Roman Reigns. That's been the one constant since, like, SummerSlam last year that's been really, really good, right? Even outside of that, you've had some other really good stuff. The rise of Bianca Belair. You had Big E as Intercontinental Champion. Even Sami Zayn's run before that was really good. Having like the rise of Big E in that sense as well. Having KO and his going for the Universal title and all that stuff. You've had good things about SmackDown and stuff that was at least intriguing to see where it was going. However, I feel like currently, in the current product, since probably Mania, SmackDown's been spinning its wheels a lot. And the Roman Reigns stuff continues to be one of the best things going in wrestling. Hands down. Absolutely amazing stuff. And we've spoken about it so many times that his character and all the stories surrounding him since his comeback have been absolutely phenomenal. Outside of that, and I feel like this episode in particular, which is why I've titled it for this episode in particular really highlighted that anything outside of the Roman story right now is a bit pants. It's a bit rubbish. Because on this show, from start to end, pretty much every single story, outside of the Roman one, finished in exactly the same place as where it started. Nothing really happened on this show. And I will say, it's not as egregiously bad as Raw is. Raw, I think, is actively damaging and terrible and a complete waste of time, makes you want to hate yourself, right? SmackDown isn't that bad, but it's not good. It's not good. Outside, with the exception, the little asterisk of, yes, Roman Reigns stuff is fantastic and amazing and incredible and great, everything. As it should be, it's the top story on the show for your top title. It should be the best thing on the show, absolutely. Everything else, take it or leave it.
I mean, we've looked at this show. I've been doing these reviews since WrestleMania, and I went into it having not really enjoyed SmackDown in the past. I wasn't watching it every week, but when I watched it, I was like, eh, I don't really see the hype. And then I watched the show since WrestleMania. I watched the show since WrestleMania, and I was like, oh, you know what? I really like that show. And then I really like that show, and I really like that show. Maybe I was too hard on SmackDown. I really like this show so far. And I'm still watching the same show.
Mm.
And this was the week where I was like, this is completely unacceptable. I've been watching the same show for 6 weeks. And I'm tired of it. Roman Reigns is arguably the greatest character in wrestling currently. He is just an all-around perfect performer at the moment. And he has the best storyline. He has the best matches in the company. The whole deal. Perfect presentation. You can read, or not read, you can listen to me talk about it more on my YouTube channel, Tempest the Wrestler, where I just put up a new video of how WWE fixed Roman Reigns, talk about how great he is. Everything else on this show drove me up the wall this week. Like, everything just drove me nuts. It's maddening, guys. This show sucked. The opening match I thought was really, really, really good, and I was off to a fantastic start to this show. I was like, oh, that was such a fun match. A match itself that advances the story. That's exactly what you want. Let's crack on. Let's see the rest of this show. It's going to be great. And then it just wasn't. And to me, there is a direct link between how much Roman Reigns is used on a show and how good the show is. Because you will go back and look at the shows that we gave like the lowest ratings to since WrestleMania. And the ones that we've given the lowest ratings to is like, there's only one Roman Reigns segment, or it's a very short Roman Reigns segment. Roman Reigns isn't the focus of that show. All of the best shows are the ones that focus on Roman Reigns. And on this show, we got two backstage segments with Roman Reigns and then the tag match furthering that storyline. That part of the show was excellent. 5 out of 5 wrestling. Everything else was like a 1 out of 5 on this show. And it's not because the wrestling necessarily was bad, although in some cases I thought it was. It's that I've seen it all before. And I got into not an argument, because I don't care to argue on Twitter, but I said that this show felt like a rerun. And people were like, oh, no, there's only one rematch on the show. How could it be a rerun? I was like, you don't get it. It's a rerun because we're not moving forward. We're just watching the same stuff. Like, we're getting a Seth Rollins promo that is the same promo he could have cut before WrestleMania. It wasn't even a good promo at that. We got Bayley laughing at Bianca Belair and saying that she cheated. Same as last week. There just happened to be a match going on. We got a 1.5 minute Kevin Owens Apollo Crews match that we saw like 3 weeks ago. Sick of that. And then we got the Mysterios against the Dirty Dogs, which we saw at Backlash. The exact same match.
But it was inverted, Tempest. Don't you understand?
Oh, yes, but you see, Pete, when the matches in WWE are all the same, it doesn't matter which babyface you attack backstage.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
It doesn't change the context of the match. And so when you've got like 4 segments on a show that are just a complete rehash of what we've been doing since WrestleMania, I really lose interest, and I'm really just waiting for this show to be over.
Yeah.
You know, we spent, just my last point on the matter is, like, we spent a good long while talking about, okay, would have liked to have seen a bunch of feuds end at WrestleMania, but they kept going. All right, fine. Backlash is the next pay-per-view. Then it'll be over, and that's that. Backlash was 2 weeks ago now, and they're still just going with the same feuds, and I'm very tired of it. I need something new.
That's exactly it. And I feel like it's such a shame because SmackDown has been good. Like I said, there's been bright spots outside of the Roman stuff in months gone by, but it's just so inconsistent with how good the other stuff is. Like Big E versus Sheamus, I think, was a really good little feud, ticking the moment when Big E got assaulted in the parking lot. Stuff was really cool. And even like the Jeff Hardy and Sheamus stuff, even though it really had like its down parts with, you know, throwing piss in the face, that wasn't very good. That bar fight brawl, I thought, was a ton of fun. It's like there was like really good bright spots. You had like AJ Styles win the Continental title, like, and his match against Daniel Bryan in the Performance Center and all that stuff. Like, SmackDown's had really good stuff in like the past year, but it's just so inconsistent with how good it is. And the one consistent is always Roman Reigns. And it's almost a detriment of how good the Roman Reigns stuff is, because it really throws the spotlight onto the rest of the show as be like, why isn't the rest of the show like this? And I want to come across, because I know we're being quite negative about this, because SmackDown isn't a great show, honestly. It's not, outside of the Roman stuff. But it's just because the Roman stuff is so good, it just makes the rest of the show look worse by comparison. And I feel like a lot of the people that are telling us we're wrong in the live chat right now, because I can see a lot of people saying, like, you're idiots. And that's totally fine. If that's the opinion you have, that's totally fine. I feel like people have been so conditioned by WWE to accept a mediocre show as something that's good. And that's exactly what SmackDown was this week. It was completely mediocre. And I feel like when people say that, they need to watch other stuff that's actually good. Like, watch other TV shows, other stuff that actually has really good storytelling and stuff that you enjoy and you want to watch the next episode every single week, and it builds characters and layers to every story and stuff like that. The Roman bit is really good storytelling. It just needs to be across everything. And that would make a fantastic WWE product. They have the talent, they have the people. It's just that it needs to kind of be separated out across all the other people that's not just Roman. And people have been so conditioned for so long to take the one little bit of positivity out of a show and just be like, well, that show was good then. I was like, no, that was one very small part of the show. There's another hour and 50 minutes of this show to get through that wasn't that good. And even though the one thing is the main focus of the show, that doesn't account for the entirety of the show. So in conclusion, is SmackDown actually good? I don't think so. It's not Raw. It's not Raw. It's not as bad as Raw. I will say that. But is it actually good? Not really.
There are a lot of people I've seen in the chat talking about, you know, well, of course SmackDown is good. Look, it's so much better than Raw. Being better than the worst wrestling show of the last 20 years does not mean that you are good, you know?
Goodness me. How bad Raw is that so many people have stopped reviewing it on YouTube because they literally cannot force themselves to watch it. That is a bad product. That's a horrifically bad product. That's an abhorrent product. And being better than that does not mean you're good. You can still be a bad show and be better than Raw. I'm not saying SmackDown's bad. I think it's mediocre. But good God. Yeah.
Like, we haven't gotten quite to the depths of the worst Raw stuff, like when Mandy and Dana Brooke walked out because Nia Jax fell down. I haven't seen stuff like that. And I will say that that is worse than SmackDown. But watching this show after the tag match felt like I was watching Raw. I was like, oh my God, I'm just watching the same show I've been watching for weeks. And I don't like the promo. I don't like the matches. They're dumb finishes. Like, this felt like an episode of Raw, an hour shorter, on Friday. And blech.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, let's get into your Ultra Chat to see what people think about this subject, and then we'll talk about the show as is. Charles Berg comes in to say, SmackDown is okay. One great storyline doesn't change the fact WWE books shows with little to no care or reason. Also, I want to make something clear. While I treat you both like the dastardly villains you are, that's just the characters. You're good guys. What characters? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. Buy the shirt. Yeah.
By the shirt. Also, yeah, I totally agree. One great storyline doesn't change the fact they book the shows with little to no care or reason. That it's so frustrating that they put so much care and attention on the Roman storyline, because that just proves that they have the capability to do good stuff like this, and they just don't do it.
Man, because I don't know. I'm not backstage. I don't know exactly how much of the praise needs to be given to, like, Paul Heyman. We know it's been hands-on with the storyline and everything like that. We know that he's involved. I don't know how much he's involved. I don't know if he's literally the person writing the entire storyline or if he's just giving direction and that sort of thing. If he is the person just writing the storyline, for Christ's sake, I know they've done it before and taken it away, but just let Paul Heyman write the show.
Right.
You know, just let him write the show.
Also, I've seen several people that I forgot to mention at the start of the show. There is no AEW review today. AEW Dynamite got moved to Friday night. We're still reviewing SmackDown. There is no AEW review this week. Soz. And I think AEW's on Friday next week as well. Is that right?
Yeah, I think they're on Friday for a little while because of the NBA playoffs.
Cool.
I'm there sorry, also gang.
Not be any Dynamite reviews while they're on Fridays. That's just the way it goes. Soz about that, but that's not our choice. If it was our choice, we'd probably be reviewing AEW Dynamite. So,
I can confirm. I would much rather be reviewing a good show this week.
Yeah, yeah. Blind Raw says, here's some money for my boys. Sadly missed both shows today. I was out getting my vaccine shot. Nice. SmackDown isn't bad. It's got some direction at least, and they're trying with tag teams with Rey and Dom, and now Usos are back, and the IC scene has legs. IC scene had legs, I would argue. Last couple weeks, really not so much. That's my humble opinion. But we'll talk about that more when we get to the actual segments themselves. Bazo Banks said, even though SmackDown is enjoyable, it just feels like they're spinning their wheels. I understand the common conception is that we're in the post-mania lull, but why does that have to be? Why do we have to wait until the summer for good TV? Yes, that. Yeah. Why wait? Just do good shows all the time. Done.
I feel like post-Mania lull was like a thing that fans started saying about the company because like, oh, they like it was a outside viewpoint of they aren't doing as well after WrestleMania. But now it's just like, oh, well, that's just it is. That's what it is. It's the post-Mania lull. So, you know, of course the shows are bad. Like, that's not an excuse. It's not an excuse for them to do bad shows.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Stephen Guzman says, to be honest, I haven't enjoyed SmackDown in a little while. I didn't like the Edge versus Roman versus Daniel Bryan story. I enjoy the Roman stuff again, but the show is highlighting its flaws recently. I need more than just Roman at this point. Yes. With you, 100%. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Not, I still did enjoy the Edge Roman Daniel Bryan stuff. Not as much as some other stories that they were going, but still enjoyed the story. But yes, I do need more than just Roman at this point. My hype for him does not carry across 2 hours, unfortunately. And we'll do the last one for now before we get on with the review of the show. SMB says, personally, I agree with you that this week's SmackDown was mediocre. I think it has been for a while, just apart from the Roman feuds. Apart from that, the rest of SmackDown is pretty average. Nothing interesting is really going on, but Raw, the whole show, is bad. Agreed. Yes. So let's talk about the show. We're going to whiz through a lot of the stuff that happened, which should be easy enough because not a lot happened. So let's just make sure we don't overrun today. So we got, let's just do all of the Roman. No, that's not going to work because it involved the Tim. Let's just do all the Roman Reigns and Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso stuff to get through it. So it started off with a cold open promo. Big fan of cold opens. Do more of them. Cold open promo with Jimmy getting fired up to Jey because they're going to tag together for the first time in over a calendar year. And I was like, yeah, Usos. This is great. Roman comes in and kind of is just like, oh, yeah, you got it all figured out. Like, but what's your end game here, Jimmy? Like, what's your plan? Jimmy was saying, well, it's to win. That's what we're going to do. We're going to win. We're going to win the tag titles and we're going to hold the tag titles alongside your Universal Championship. And he goes, oh, okay, cool. Good luck. And then Jimmy walks off and turns to him, he's like, because you're going to need it. I was like, ooh, that's spooky. Jey is just like hesitating and Ray's just like, oh, does your brother speak for you now? Is that what he's doing? And he's just like the classic, like just talking into him and just like bullying, but not bullying at the same time, like drawing that line where he's just talking to him, but he is absolutely like, it's thinly veiled threats underneath it in all of his speech. It's just brilliant. And Jey eventually is just like, oh, yeah, I might be teaming with Jimmy tonight, but you know that, you know, I'm still with you, like 100%. And then Roman says, I think you need to tell Jimmy that. And that was just how the segment ended. And I was like, ooh, there's some tension here. And I like this.
I absolutely love it. Roman Reigns is the best manipulator. Like, he is absolutely like a manipulative partner, just being like, okay, what happened to us? Oh, no, you're gonna do that now. Yeah. Oh, good luck. I hope you succeed. Yeah, good job. But you know that he's actually pissed off about it. Oh, yeah. It's so good.
Yeah,
Roman Reigns is so good.
And this led straight into the Usos versus the Street Profits, first match back for the Usos in over a year. I kind of wanted this to just go straight into the match, but unfortunately, we got a promo segment beforehand. Street Profits came out and cut a promo. I thought it was decent. They were just saying that they're gonna win and they want the smoke and, you know, standard Street Profit stuff. Thought it was decent. But then the Usos music hit and I genuinely got pumped up just seeing both of them come out together, and both of them were quite like, you know, doing their normal like pumped up entrance. Like, they started kicking the red solo cups that came up from the Street Profits entrance, and I was like, man, I have missed the Usos tagging together. Good God, like, that is, oh man. And I got like, yeah, let's go Usos. And they came out and they cut a promo and I was like, God, I've missed the Usos doing promos together, just like bouncing off each other and like doing the one-liners to each other and stuff like that. And then the welcome to the Uso penitentiary, I was like, these are my Usos. I've missed the Usos. This is really great. I was very happy about it. But having said that, I would have much rather they just went straight into the match and didn't cut a promo segment at all. I just felt like it was a bit unnecessary. And when the Usos music hit, I thought it was like, okay, so they're interrupting Street Profits straight into the match. And then the promo segment just carried on. And I was like, why are they still talking fights. You guys already had this match scheduled. Like, why are you still do the match? You do the thing. That's just me, though. Maybe I'm just being picky, but you know.
I mean, I like the Usos promo a lot. Mm. You know, we are not. We don't have a wide, a plentiful gathering of good promos on this show most of the time. You know, we're usually limited to whatever Roman Reigns does and his crew of Paul Heyman, and maybe we'll get a random other one have a good promo, like if Daniel Bryan or Edge are on the show, but they haven't been in recent weeks. To see the Usos get to cut a good tag team promo again was like, it's been too long. I yep. waited a year to see you guys back, and I don't know, I feel like, I don't want to get into like a whole long rant on the Usos or anything like that, but I feel like they've had like a very strange career trajectory because they were just like, they were the jobber team for like 4 years when they showed up. Yeah. And then from like 2014 to 2017, they like just picked right up and they were like pushed as, oh, well, they're one of the greatest tag teams of all time. And at the time I was like, are they though? They haven't really won any matches since 2010 when they debuted. But now that we've seen the second half of that decade, yeah, they're one of the best teams in WWE history. And yeah. now we're getting to see them back and doing their thing. And it was like, oh, there's nothing happening tag division. We're finally getting like an actual proper tag team back, probably winning the title soon. Love to yeah. see them back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So good. They're repackaged with the brand split and like changing up the theme song and everything. I was like, God, they're good. They're good, aren't they? It was so good to see them back again. And the match itself, I thought was really fun. Really, really fun. You know, the action was good. They're all very good wrestlers. I really enjoyed just the Usos tagging again together. But the thing that I really liked about this is when they first came out and when we got into the match and stuff, I was like, you can tell that these are different characters. It's not just, oh, well, the Usos are back and they're doing the tag team stuff again. Cool. Mm-hmm. As is. Same old. When they first came out, I was like, they feel like a different tag team. Like, they feel elevated in my mind. And they were already, like, one of my favorite tag teams in forever. But in terms of, like, the eyes of WWE, it was always the tag division, which is always, like, a step lower. But when they came out here, I was like, they've legitimately been elevated by Roman. I can honestly say that they have legitimately, being associated with this whole story, Jay having those fantastic matches with Roman last year, Jimmy being involved with it in the Hell in a Cell and all that stuff, and the story since they've come back, they feel like an elevated tag team. They feel much more like stars, and their wrestling style complemented that, with Jay being so much more aggressive than we used to when he's tagging with Jimmy, and Jimmy still kind of being a babyface when he wrestled, kind of, but then he had like classic like Uso tactics and stuff like that, and it was just like, it's just like a brilliant, like, oh, just a perfect like mix of being like, oh, this is so nostalgic to see the Usos back, and also, oh, these are different Usos, interesting. It was a perfect little mix. Really enjoyed this match.
Yeah, I mean, the match itself was really great. I thought it was by far the best thing on this week's show. Mm. But man, like, not only do they feel like bigger stars, they feel like individuals.
Yes.
Which, I mean, not to just throw shade at twin teams and everything, but it did not feel like this was going to be something that was a thing a year ago, 2 years ago. Like, if you told me that both Usos would have, like, their own fully developed characters that people would care about, I wouldn't have believed you. Mm-hmm. I would not have believed you. And now they're here, and they are probably among the more developed characters on the show. Jey Uso for sure is one of the more developed characters on this show. That's so refreshing and like so surprising to see this happen to a team of twins.
Yeah, exactly.
Paul Heyman's the man, man.
It really is. Yeah. Oof. Hey, man. Anyway, I really enjoyed the finish this match as well. Again, just playing more into the story of Street Profits looked like they were going to get the win. There was a couple of really close near falls for both teams. And they set up, they hit the big kind of spine buster into the frog splash thing, but onto Jimmy as well. But as Ford went for the frog splash, Jay saved Jimmy and pulled him out of the way of the frog splash, meaning Ford crashed and burned, missed the frog splash entirely. Jay got taken out on the outside, but he'd already done the work because he'd saved Jimmy. Jimmy gets up, hits a super kick onto Ford and gets the win. amazing stuff. Jay having to save Jimmy in order to get the match. Now, you could say that's just normal tag team stuff. That's just tag teams being tag teams. No, of course it's not. That's Jay, main event Jey Uso, having to save his inferior brother for him to get the win. Oh, man. It's
detail. Like,
detail.
It's subtlety.
Right? Because that is... There's no dissension between them right now. There's the overt stuff in the backstage promos that we'll talk about in a little bit of Jay being like, oh, I am dealing with my emotions. But there was no like Jay being upset with Jimmy at any point in this match. But you don't need to have him upset with Jimmy to infer that that's the way it's going to go. Because Jay just saved Jimmy. And you know that he's going to be feeling that on the inside to be like, I had to save him for that. Like, sure, they got the win. But it was Jay that had to do the instigating. And he's actually the win condition for this main event, Jey Uso, you know? And you know that's going to be brought up in a promo probably next week. That little detail is going to be important. And that is why the Roman Reigns story is so frigging good. Because they actually pay attention to little details and they actually continue in their own continuity. And it matters. And that's why
everything
it's a good
matters.
Story. Yeah.
Also, I want to point out, very good chat. Don't you mean triplets?
Hey.
Yes, I forgot about the third Uso. My apologies.
It, right along with the fourth face of Foley. So that match was great. Really, really cool. And then later on, both the Usos are backstage going to Adam Pearce. And Jimmy is the one who's kind of doing all the talking and being like, hey, you saw that out there, right? And I'm looking to the future. Whoever's tag team champions at the end of tonight, we want them next week for the tag team titles. And I was like, okay, that's quick, but I'm on board. Yep. Great. Like, if you can save this tag division sooner, the better, really. That's awesome. Great. And Adam Pearce is like, yeah, sure. Let's do it. Let's give it a go. And Jimmy is like, yeah, let's go. Walks off. And then Jay's face is just like, oh, God. And like hangs his head. And he's like, God, like Roman's going to be so mad about this. Like, he doesn't say anything. It's all in facial expression. But you just know he's like, man, Roman's going to be so mad. I'm going to have to tell him. Oh, I don't want to deal with this. It's all just like all like the conflicting emotions in him. Really good. Really, really good.
Love that storytelling. You get a title match after one win.
Hey, it's the Usos. But, they're allowed.
I guess, but like, come on now. Is it just because they didn't have any, they don't have any other babyface teams to face?
Well, yeah, that's also, you know? Also true. But yeah. I'll say I can buy that the Usos come back, get a win, and they go, okay, you're the Usos. You can jump up the queue. The queue of like one.
The Quele. Like,
yeah, that. So then later in the show again, we had another backstage promo, which was Roman Reigns speaking to Jey Uso by himself. And sits him down. And I love this framing. Because they're kind of sitting almost side by side. Jay's like a little bit behind Roman. Roman's not even looking at Jay. He's just looking straight forward, talking kind of in the air in front of him. And it's just, that's all he's talking to. Doesn't even give Jay his eye contact. And he said that, you know, when Jay follows his plans, he's closing the show. As soon as he's back with his brother, he's been relegated to the opening match. And I was like, what a brilliant attention to detail. Like,
love it.
The opening match isn't necessarily bad, but it's not the main event though, is it? And he's main event Jey Uso. Why is he not in the main event? Yes, more of this. Love it. Details.
How often is this sort of thing ever brought up in WWE?
Right?
Positioning
right.
on the card?
Yeah.
That is not a plot point in any storyline they do ever. But no. Here it is because it's an attention to detail. And I love that.
Yes.
I love it. More of this, please.
Absolutely, yeah. Roman then goes on in a brilliant little callback to his and Jey Uso's feud last year and says, I don't want you to go back to a place where someone looks at you and asks, which one are you? And I was like, yes, Roman, you're such a dick. And I love you. Such a manipulator. Using Jey's words against him. To be like, you don't want to go back to that place. Like, you know how bad it was. You mentioned it to me all that time ago. You don't want to go back there. Yes! Love it. And you can see that Jay kind of already has a front to Roman. Like, he's not saying anything, but you can see he's like, he's still kind of, his heart wants to go and be with Jimmy, but his brain is being like, I've got to stick with Roman here. And he, you can see, like, he had a bit of a front, But as soon as Roman says that, his guard kind of drops and he's like, yeah, damn, I don't want to go back there. And he says out loud, he's like, I never thought about it like that. I've not been thinking about it like that at all. And Roman just goes, yeah, you should tell Jimmy that because he's not thinking like that either. And I'm like, Roman, you're such a dick. So good. Like, oh, you said, just so such good. A perfect manipulator. Just pluck it at the strings a little bit. Just, hey, have you thought about this thing? Oh, so good.
I forget where I saw this, but how do you get someone to do what you want them to do, make them think it's their idea?
Right?
You got to plant the seeds in Jay's head to be like, hey, this is what you said. This is what you said, you know? You don't want to go back to being the old Jay Uso. And he's like, oh, wow, yeah, you're right. It's because that was his idea. Those were his words. Mm-hmm. Oh, perfect stuff. Perfect stuff.
There's one lesson to be taken out of Inception. It's that. Another absolutely wonderful promo. And at the very end of the night, we'll talk about the actual match itself later, but we had the Mysterios versus the Dirty Dogs. The Mysterios won, shock horror, and they retain the tag titles. And then at the very end of the show, the Usos come out. They stare down the Mysterios as the Mysterios hold up the tag titles because we're getting that match next week. Roman's watching on from backstage, and he's a very angry man. He has the whole lip-twitching thing going on. He's not happy about it. So we'll see what happens next week. Really, really excited to see what happens next week because either I think Roman's going to do something horrible to Jimmy Uso, or Jay is going to turn on Jimmy. And I don't want to see that because I want my Usos back, but I also really want to see that at the same time.
So as we wrap up with the whole Roman Reigns stuff, I put out a tweet earlier this week saying that I had an idea for Roman Reigns SummerSlam opponent and storyline, and I was really kind of sold on it. And I don't think it's going to happen because there have been other reports of possible main event plans for the show. But how, and you could still do it before then. There's still time. It doesn't have to be SummerSlam. But how fun would it be to have the main event program be Roman Reigns versus Rey Mysterio for the Universal title while also roping in Rey and Dominic against the Usos for the tag titles, with Rey kind of saying, like, this isn't how you lead a family, man. You got to have your family beside you. You got to be equals. You got to, because he's got his son there, obviously, and have him be the babyface voice of reason. I think that would be a really fun thing. And we're headed towards Usos and Mysterios. And I don't know that we're going to get the Universal title match because Roman doesn't have like a challenger right now. The Cesaro thing's done. I'd really like it to be Rey Mysterio. Mm-hmm. That match would be so good.
It would. That would be a lot of fun. I get the feeling that it's either going to be Jimmy versus Roman at Hell in a Cell, or Roman won't have a match. And it will be the Usos versus someone, or Jay versus Jimmy, or something like that. And Roman would be involved in something, but he wouldn't have a match himself. That would be my opinion.
Need more Roman, not less.
I agree.
Because I totally agree. I think Roman versus Jimmy is like, that's the main event I would book for Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
And that's not the end of the story. That's just chapter of it. That's a major moment in the story. And then we continue on.
I just want the parallels. I want them to do the same Hell in a Cell match that he did with Jay, but just flip it and just have it be Jimmy. And he's choking out Jay to prove a point to Jimmy. And Jimmy has to succumb and acknowledge him. And I don't care if it's repetitive. I would watch it again because it's great.
Yeah. There you go. But that's the thing, though. That's the thing. When you have a storyline like this with this much detail and can, like, just evolving plot, if they were to do the same finish, that finish would have a completely different context than when it happened last year, because the characters involved are now at different places. And if having him choke out Jay instead of Jimmy and have Jimmy quit on behalf of his brother is like so completely different than what happened last year, even though the optics of everything would look like, oh, it's the same finish. No, the where we're at in the story makes everything different. And that's the kind of thing you get to do when you have so much nuance and subtlety and attention to detail in a storyline.
Exactly.
This is what we want out of SmackDown, guys.
Yeah, it's the consequences that would be different. And that's what matters. It's because actions in this storyline actually have consequences, unlike a lot of other stories in WWE. But hey, ho. Elsewhere on the show.
There you go.
Yeah, there it is. It's fine. Oof. We just explained why, but it's fine. Yep. We then had, after the opening match of Usos and Street Profits, we had the Dirty Dawgs backstage, and they said, "We're going to be tag champs again." And that was the promo. After that, we got Natalya and Tamina versus the Riot Squad. Natalya and Tamina got a full entrance. The match started in the ad break, so Riot Squad got nothing. Nice. Way to build up your women's tag division. I found this match very confusing because they started and it only went like 3 minutes total or whatever. After about a minute of watching, I just glanced up and I was like, Tamina's not on the apron. Why is Tamina not on the apron? And then almost like they heard me, Michael Cole just goes, "Oh, Tamina not on the apron here because she was beat up at ringside before the match started." Like, what? That's... Huh?
Like, you know,
it baffles my mind. It baffles my mind that this company that does this storyline we've just been praising for being so nuanced and detailed and having so much amazing storytelling in it doesn't know how to tell stories. Like, the most basic facet of storytelling is show, don't tell. Like, show the thing happening, even if it's a replay, right? Even if it's a replay after the fact, at least you've shown it so you have some context, right? And the other side of it is Chekhov's gun. Make stuff there for a reason. Tamina not being on the apron did not factor into anything in this match at all. So why even have it in the first place? Continue.
Yeah, I had a number of people, and it wasn't just this show. It was kind of like just the shows this week, where people kind of became a little more self-aware and were like, why do they have wrestling during the ad breaks?
Mm-hmm.
What other form of entertainment is that what would happen? Oh, the Oscars, here's all the people sitting here. Go to commercial while they give the award. Sports, all the teams have come down the tunnel. Oh, that's so cool. Look, we just sang the national anthem. Ready for kickoff? Commercial.
Yeah.
Stop doing this! I hate it. Oh, and especially when you have the crux of the match take place during the commercial. They do it a lot where, like, the heels will get the heat during the commercial, which really kills the point of a match. Mm-hmm. But if it's the opening of a match, when you have an angle to take someone out of the match and you don't even show it, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Also, I thought this match kind of sucked anyway.
Yeah, it did.
You know, there were... Great. A lot of moments here where everyone like waited for their tag partner to do their moves. It's didn't flow, no, you know, and I see people saying like they need commercials. No, sorry. That's not a good enough answer. You don't need to have your commercial, have the commercial take place during the entrances. Mm-hmm. I know they've conditioned fans to think that the entrances are what is the cool part, but can we stop doing that? Have the commercials during the entrances before, like, just do it like AEW, for Christ's sake. I don't want to compare them because people don't like it when you compare things to AEW, but AEW doesn't just have like, oh, here's everybody go to the commercial as they start the match. Don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah. It's bad.
Yeah. And also, if they wanted to treat it like a legitimate sport, they could control when the ad breaks are. Like, you could just have the ad breaks after your matches. That's just the way you could do it.
That's a great thing about wrestling. You can
just wanted to bring
everything.
This up as well. Just for anyone that's joining the stream that wasn't in here earlier, there's no AEW review today. It's also not our choice, which we've mentioned. So you can't just say it's your choice because it isn't.
Yeah.
It's just not the way it works.
This is one of the downsides of blowing up your boss.
Mm.
We don't get to make decisions around here.
Way to make it kayfabe. Love that.
Gotcha.
I think I might be wrong here, completely off base. I doubt this would matter in the grand scheme of things, but it seems to me that they're trying to tell the story that Tamina is the carry out of the two teams, out of her and Natalya, because she was the one who was kind of dominant. She wasn't factored in the first part of it because, you know, she wasn't on the apron and Natalya got beaten up. But then she came in, she kind of ran wild. Natalya got beaten up on the outside and Tamina went, okay, and then just won anyway.
It was so
and
weird.
And then just won, right? So I feel like if that's the story they're trying to tell, that Tamina's the better one out of the two, and she's the carry and all that stuff, Sure, don't know where that's going, but, you know, maybe that's something, or maybe I'm just giving them too credit and I'm trying to find a story where there isn't one. Maybe that's just me. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm just happy that this didn't involve Shayna and Nia Jax.
Oh, thank God.
That's the one positive out of this segment that I saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when they came back, when they came back from the commercial and Tamina was beaten up on the outside, I was like, oh, Shayna and Nia attacked her. It's like 100% that's what happened. And then that's not what happened. So.
Yeah, totally. After that, we got the Adam Pearce backstage promo. Then we had Bianca Belair versus Carmella, which was a match. It was fine. Michael Cole was not having a good night on commentary for this match. Goodness me, made an awful lot of errors on various parts of the show as a whole, but especially here. Also, stop doing the merry-go-round. It's the worst move ever. Stop it. I hate it so much. It's the worst. Goodness me. And at one point, Bianca Belair hits the KOD on Carmella, and Michael Cole goes, "Ooh, Carmella face plant." Come on, Cole. Come on, Cole. There's one thing a commentator's got to do. It's got to call out the finisher. Come on.
He called Bianca Belair like Belanka or something like that at some point.
He sure did.
I was like, oh, dude.
Yeah. And Bayley was on commentary. She did a ding-dong hello and joined the commentary. She was good on commentary. She always is. And then, yeah, Bianca won with a KOD. The two stared each other down. Bayley laughed at her. No progression. It's just stagnant. It's just the same as it was before.
See, this is a segment I wouldn't have a problem with if there were other segments to make up for it on the show. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, because it was like, okay, Bianca versus Carmella, that's a new-ish match. Mm-hmm. We've got Bayley on commentary. That's like a different thing that they've done. That's fine. Like, we didn't get anywhere by the end of this segment, but this was like a perfect maintenance segment, just kind of further things along for a week. But you can't have 5 maintenance segments on one show. You need to advance other storylines, is the point.
Absolutely, yeah. After that, we got the Mysterios backstage, who said they're going to retain. And then after that, we got Seth Rollins coming out in a frankly ridiculous suit. And I know that's his thing now, but, you know, whatever. He came out and he said, "I'm not here to talk. I'm here to fight. Bring me Cesaro." And I was like, "You're in a suit. You're lying to me." Turns out he was lying to us. And I quite like the heel thing being like, "I'm here to fight. Bring me Cesaro." And he was like, "Oh, no, wait. I stretched him out last week." I was like, okay, that's funny. However, then he threw to a recap of last week, which is less good. And then he's got audio of Cesaro in pain from the hospital. And I was like,
what was this?
That's a bit weird. What's this? Why is this? Didn't really add anything. Was just a bit weird, I thought.
It was also his birthday for some reason.
It is his birthday. Like, legitimately, like, it is his birthday.
No, yeah. Yeah, for sure. But, like, what's the point of it being your birthday there, Seth? Just
what's the
like...
point of birthdays? I agree, Tempest. What is the point of birthdays? Why does anyone have birthdays?
I don't know. After like 26, everyone should just stop.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Whatever your peak is. Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, he put on the serious voice. And I quite like the one line in here where he put on the serious voice and he was saying, he pushed me to a point. I know I'm a man of integrity and, you know, I need to kind of own up to certain things. And, you know, part of the blame does have to go to Cesaro because, well, frankly, he deserved it and he deserved absolutely everything that's coming to him. And I was like, I quite like the fact that he kept the serious voice to just throw in another dig line at Cesaro. And then he said, and of course, part of the blame has to come to you people. And then did a whole thing about you people and why you're the ones that are wrong, which was fine. Yeah. Proper that, and there you go.
Yeah,
there's a promo.
I lost it at the audio clip.
Yeah,
it's like, oh yeah, some like that was a moment that took me out of the show and went, someone wrote that and thought it was good. We're gonna have an audio clip of Cesaro going, and it's gonna be heel heat. All right.
Yeah. That literally just reminds me of the the Moxley Talk is Jericho interview when Moxley's saying about Vince, about the surgeon guy, and he's like, it's gonna get you a ton of heat. And it's like, it's, I could just imagine Vince, heat, I can imagine Vince saying exactly that about this segment as well. I also noticed here, you would have thought by now, bearing in mind that the Thunderdome's on the way out, you would have thought by now that they'd have figured out how to get the Thunderdome noises to not drown out the promo. Because yeah. It really wound me up at the end of this segment. I was like, what does that say at the end there?
Yeah. Oh,
God. It just really annoyed me.
You only got so many more weeks to figure it out.
I know, so. Yeah. And then we go back to actual crowds. Hey-ho. Then after that, okay, Kevin Owens versus Apollo Crews, right? Mm. I'm paraphrasing. This isn't what the exact wording that they used. But at the very start of the match, Kevin Owens is in the ring, saying he's got a shot against Apollo Crews next. In order for Owens to have another chance at the title, he needs to knock off the champ. Why? When has that ever been a thing? That you need to beat the champion in order to get a shot for their title? No! You should beat all the other people to become the number one contender. Why? No, that's wrong. That's literally actively wrong of how wrestling works, WWE. Angered me, that one.
It's a rule this week. It's a rule. Yeah. Yeah, it's always been a rule. Wink. Goodness me. And it's weird because like Kevin Owens, I would think, would be fairly high on the list of people that should get, you know, a title shot, perhaps. You know, he was kind of screwed out of his original title shot against Apollo Crews. And then he wasn't pinned, I don't think. No, he wasn't pinned in the four-way match. And so It's like, okay, of the people in the IC title scene, he would be near the top. But, like, it's just so weird. Like, he has to beat the champion if he wants another shot.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then he did, technically.
And I know that WWE does it a lot where someone will pin the champion and then they go, oh, well, you pinned the champion, you should get a title shot. But it's the insinuation that in order to get a title shot, he has to pin it. Like, the only way for him to get a title shot is to pin the champion. It's like, that's not a thing. That's never been a thing. No, that's not how it works. Anyway, the match itself was like 3 minutes long with Kevin Owens just hitting all of his moves. Where he just came in, hit a super kick, cannonball, tried to do a pop-up powerbomb, hit a stunner on him, just straight up. So, was totally going to win. But as he did the pin, Commander Aziz comes in, hits a Nigerian nail on Kevin Owens to cause the DQ. So, Owens wins by DQ. And don't worry, because if you missed Commander Aziz hitting the nail, don't worry, Kevin Owens is here to sell the crap out of it for ages. Like, it was so long. I tell you what, I'm gonna get up a timer.
Yeah.
And I will say when, because I remember how long it was. I'm just gonna get up a stopwatch and we'll just keep talking. And at one point I'll just jump in and interrupt and say, okay, now they cut away. Okay. So from when he hit the Nigerian nail to when this segment ended, it was just Kevin Owens coughing and spluttering and them just going, oh, you know, Apollo Crews retaining, but you know, it was Kevin Owens looks in a bad way kind of thing for ages. Okay, so I'm going to start the timer now. So after that segment, we had the Roman Reigns backstage one that we mentioned before with Jey Uso. We then had Shinsuke Nakamura with Boogs versus Chad Gable, which was more Boogs playing Shinsuke down to the ring. I assumed it was going to be against Corbin, honestly.
Yeah, me too.
Genuinely, Shinsuke came out and I was like, so he's facing Corbin, right? But it was Chad Gable, so that's a nice change of pace. Nice to see Chad Gable, I guess. I mentioned in the edited review early today, I was like, wow, wouldn't it be weird in an alternate timeline if you had WWE champion Shinsuke Nakamura against like plucky underdog Chad Gable?
Oh. Like, Don't say that, Pete.
Come on, man.
You'll make me sad.
Oh, well.
Also, I would have liked to have seen that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And then the match itself, it doesn't go too long either. It's, again, another, like, five-minute match. Shinsuke gets most of the offense, just kind of keeps going through. And Corbin, at one point, comes out to take his crown back, which, you know, he should. It's his crown.
Yeah.
And Shinsuke gets the win, hits the Kinshasa on Gable, gets the pin and wins. Corbin goes up the ramp holding the crown, and Shinsuke's like, oh, where's my crown? It's like, it's not yours, mate. It's definitely Corbin's crown. And then reboots, and time on that, by the way. That entire time that I've been talking, that was just them of Kevin Owens selling. That's a long time. Yeah,
give me Apollo. I need a title match. Get Commander Aziz away from him.
That was later on. But it was just that. It's just him coughing the entire time that I was doing that. That's ridiculous. Just want to throw that out there. Anyway.
Can I talk about this stupid Shinsuke Nakamura thing for a second?
Yeah, I wasn't done, but yes, you go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Like, my very short point, basically, is remember when I went on a rant a few weeks ago about babyfaces acting like babyfaces and mm-hmm. stuff like that?
Yes.
I get that no one likes Baron Corbin, and so it's easier to just do stuff to him because no one likes him and people aren't going to mistake him for being the babyface and whatnot. But why are the babyfaces double teaming him and stealing his property?
Yeah, dude,
that's not a babyface thing to do.
I said it in my edited review before. It's like, why do I feel bad for Corbin? Like, the person I should not be feeling bad for. I just feel bad. He just wants his stuff back. It's his. Like, you're just stealing his stuff. Rick Boogs clocks him in the back of the head. He drops the crown. Shinsuke picks it up and puts it back on again, and off he goes. It's like, that's his crown. That's his. Like, it's a funny thing for 1 week. If, like, he steals it and does some funny things with it, and then, you know, he gets it back or whatever. Sure, fine. Whatever. That's all right. What is it with babyface is stealing stuff? Because Ricochet's doing the same thing on Raw with Sheamus' hat and coat. Why?
It's the same story, except one's a hat and one's a crown. Oh, it's the exact same story, except Shinsuke Nakamura at least got to win this match.
Yeah,
you know,
wild. Corbin just wants his stuff back. It's not hard. He just wants his crown. He literally doesn't even care about, you know, he's not even doing heelish things. He just wants his crown back. He came out, didn't interfere in the match, just came out to ringside where the commentary was, didn't even make a big deal, entrance music didn't play, you know, nothing to distract Shinsuke or anything like that, just came out from the back. At the end where the commentary table is, came out, grabbed his crown, was like, this is my crown, and then went to walk off. That is the babyfacest of babyface things to do. Not distracting and not detracting away from the match that's going on and just wanting his stuff back.
Who steals a crown, honestly?
Who steals a crown? Then we cut backstage where Kevin Owens is still selling from the Nigerian nail. He's still going with the coughing and the spluttering. And he says to Adam Pearce that he wants another title match, but with Commander Aziz nowhere near him. And Adam Pearce says, yeah, sure, you can have your title match next week. Commander Aziz banned from ringside.
Cool. We're more likely to get a better match this way, so.
Yeah. Yeah, hope so. Goodness me. I love the fact that he still couldn't breathe. After it had been like 15 minutes at this point since he actually got hit with the Nigerian nail. And I just like the thought that someone literally a thumb to the throat could stop you breathing for 15 minutes and just cough and splutter the entire time. I think that's hilarious. Anyway, then we got the main event, which was the Mysterios versus the Dirty Dogs for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. In an inverse of what happened at WrestleBack Mania Lash. Rey Mysterio was attacked backstage before the match, not Dominic. So wouldn't you know it?
Out loud mm-hmm. when I saw Rey Mysterio attack backstage. I was like, no, they're doing it again.
Yeah. And it's like, there could be a different story here if they wanted to tell the story of Dominic here, but they didn't. They told the same story. And Dominic came up by himself, shock horror. They played it up for ages like they were going to forfeit. I'm like, no, it obviously, we've seen this. But we know what's going to happen. Like, why are you playing up like they're going to forfeit? Dominic comes down by himself. Difference is, though, Dominic actually does pretty good. You know, he nearly hits a 619 a couple times. He does pretty, he's almost just won by himself. And then Rey Mysterio comes out, and him coming out causes a distraction. So then Dominic rolls up, rude, And that was the match. And it's like, if this was going to be the story of Dominik having to overcome the odds, that's a really good story to tell. Why didn't you do that at Backlash? Why wasn't that the match there and this match not happen at all? Yeah.
And I don't get it. Yeah, I don't know why this match happened at all, because this has been a thing that people like to bring up for like going on 3 years now. How, oh, we're going to do away with the automatic rematch clause. And then they just didn't. And there's a reason that you said you were going to get rid of the automatic rematch clause, because it leads to repetitive matches all the time. And this was an example of why do we have this match again? Because they have beaten the Dirty Dogs from pillar to post for weeks. Robert Roode loses to the Mysterios. Dolph Ziggler loses to the Mysterios. They both lose to the Mysterios together. Why are they getting a title shot? Yeah. If, in theory, they just are another tag team in the queue to get a title shot, for what reason did they just get one here? And there's no reason. There's no actual storyline reason why they should get a title shot before, besides just being the former champions, which we said we weren't going to do.
Yep.
And it's weird, because that's not a criticism of specifically this show, because they do it a lot, but these are the kind of things that add up. You know how last week we talked about the little minus ones that take a show down? This is another minus one, where it's like it doesn't make sense and it brings the show down another peg. And a show like this it can't afford another minus one. You need things to boost it up.
Exactly. Boost the show up. Yep. So then we got the Usos coming out and staring down, like we mentioned before, and Roman being angry. And then that was the show. Overall, this show was fine. You know, stuff was great. Roman stuff was great. Brilliant. Loved it. Loved everything to do with Roman and Jimmy and Jay on this show. The match was very good. Really enjoyed it. Everything else was mediocre. Everything else kind of was either bad or was just very stagnant and very repetitive. And it was like, you know, the Bianca Belair Carmella match was fine. Didn't progress anything really, though. It's like the Shinsuke Nakamura Chad Gable match was fine. Didn't really progress anything, though. And it was all just that through the whole show. I gave it a 3 out of 5.
Going 2 out of 5. Aside from the tag match and the Roman Reigns backstage things, there was not enough on this show for me to have a positive thought about it afterwards. You know, like when I look back, this was probably the worst episode of SmackDown that I've reviewed so far.
That you've reviewed so far? Probably. Yeah.
I don't think there's been a worse SmackDown since WrestleMania. And so I'll go 2 out of 5 just because of that tag match. If the tag match wasn't on the show, and if that was just a longer Shayna Naya segment or something like that, this would have been a 1 out of show with a bullet.
Yeah. Looking at our community tab, 53% of you voting for 3 out of 5 on the show, 27% going one higher with a 4 out of 5, with 8% going 5 out of 5, 6% doing a 1 out of 5, and the lowest rating of all, Tempest won 2 out of 5, sure, with 5% of the votes.
I'm glad that 27% is able to enjoy this show so much, because I could not.
We now need to say thank you to some very special people, and those are our $25 and above pledge hammers over on Patreon. We've got lots of them today because it's the very end of the month, and some of them got missed earlier in the month, so we've basically got 2 episodes worth. If you haven't been to WrestleTalk's Patreon page yet, you should. Loads of stuff going on. We've got Wrestle League going on right now. You can get your predictions in for Double or Nothing, where you get a big predictions league where you can vote against, compete against all of us on the screen, as well as all of the other pledge hammers in a big predictions league. It goes for seasons and stuff. Get involved with it. It's really, really fun. Go to the Patreon. And also, if you pledge at the $25 tier or above, you get your own custom wrestling nickname, and it gets read out on a show, much like this one. So thank you to Kevin Wakeham. Woo! Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you to Thomas O. Ciampa.
Hey, thank you very much.
That's funny.
Splook's best friend, Adam Blomplate. Woo! Thank you very much.
Oh, the plate. Dustin, the Professor Layton.
Woo, yes. Had a video call with him recently. It was very good. Oh, that's good. A $100 tier perk. That one, get a video call with a couple of us. It's good fun. Wonderwall, Brian Gallagher. Also had a call with him yesterday. Woo. Thank you very much.
Aren't you popular? Ryan Disco Stewart.
Woo. Had a call with him on Monday. Disco Stewart. Woo. The $100 man, CD Horvath. Woo. Thank you very much.
Superkick, Nick Mazesco.
Woo. Yes, thank you very much. The Kessel Run, DX Solo. Woo.
I like that.
Also had a video call with him on Monday.
He can last Sean fur longer than you in the ring.
He sure can. Sure can. Thank you very much.
Didn't know where that was going.
Wrestle Talk's personal ring announcer, Rodrigo Benitez. Woo!
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
The cleaner, Kenny Shaw.
Woo! Yes, thank you very much. Name of your 2000s pay-per-view, Chaos Rising. Woo! Thank you very much. We're going to shout out this guy again, because technically should have had two shout-outs this month, and one of them should have been at the start, and one of them should have been at the end, but the ones at the start got missed. So you get two shout-outs in one video. Go, Tempest.
So, shout out to Splook's best friend, Adam Blomplate.
Woo, yes, thank you very much. Colin McLeaner than Finn Balor. Woo, thank you very much.
It's pretty lean. Blompier's number one fan, Tom Delvis.
Delves, woo, thank you.
Delves, close enough.
Cyber Sunday, Digital Rowl. Yes, thank you very much.
You deserve to get a difficult one every once in a while. The Snapdragon King, Ryu Odante.
Woo! Thank you very much. Michael Mislayan McKees. See, I did that. It was good enough. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Arn K, the K stands for coolest dude ever.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Arn K. We love you. And finally, for today and also for the month, I love you 3,000, lucky 2,000. Woo! Thank you very much. Thank you to all of our pledgehammers over on Patreon. Now let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here. Ruben Madeira says, in the wrestling show Weekly Hierarchy, it's NXT on top, Dynamite and SmackDown usually tied for second, and Raw in dead last. SmackDown has the potential to be the best weekly show, but little things hold it back from being consistently great. I know you're going to disagree with those rankings, Tempest. I would argue that it's normally NXT and Dynamite that are tied towards the top, then SmackDown, then Raw.
Yeah, I mean, SmackDown will have very good shows, but no, I disagree with that very much. AEW Dynamite, to me, is significantly better than SmackDown. Significantly. And you know why? It's because of those little minus ones throughout the show. They don't have bad camera work. Their commentary is most of the time much better than WWE. And it's stuff like that. Stuff like that throughout the shows where if you take that out, SmackDown probably would be at the top.
Yeah. It's
fascinating how that works.
100%. Yeah. Got a couple here. Anthony R. says, I'm glad that both Big E and Black were not on the show last night. I would like this feud to have a proper segment to build instead of a backstage throwaway of E asking for just a match. What are your thoughts? I agree. I would have liked maybe something to keep the plate spinning, but I'm a big proponent of not having everyone on every show every week. To try and keep faces fresh and different and just switch up the people each week. I'm a big fan of that. It's something that NXT does absolutely brilliantly well, of just switching out people and having feuds spinning via promos and then matches and then different types of promos to keep the feud spinning. Something they do very well that I would have liked some sort of reference to Black, even if it was just like a little recap and that was it. Like just something to remind you that it happened kind of thing.
I would have liked to have had him on the show in some former facet, just because, like we've said, we want everything to stay fresh, and he is a fresh face. So I feel like you could have had him on the show 2 weeks in a row and take out something else on this show that was just a rerun. You know what I mean? Like, there was enough on this show that if you took out one of those segments, whatever. Like, did we need the Kevin Owens, Apollo Crews 2 minute match here? Like, have that be an Aleister Black promo segment, then Big E tries to come out, Aleister Black maybe hit some of the black men. I don't know. I'm just booking on the fly here. But like do something there because I'm more interested in those two characters and it's more fresh than whatever's going on with the rest of the IC title picture.
Yeah. Christoph Connors Man says, hey guys, do you think they pulled Hell in a Cell forward to do a Roman Jimmy Hell in a Cell match? And after Jimmy acknowledged Roman as the tribal chief, they do a Roman versus Cena or Brock match at SummerSlam and the Usos go for the tag titles. I don't think they necessarily brought Hell in a Cell forward specifically for Roman Jimmy. I think it was more because they wanted Money in the Bank to be the first one with live fans and they pushed that to July. I don't know the reason necessarily they put Hell in a Cell in June specifically, but I just know that that was a show that got moved to June specifically. So maybe they did. I don't know. But
who knows?
I'd like to see Roman Cena personally at SummerSlam. I think that'd be really, really cool.
As do I. I don't know that this show was moved up because of anything going on in storyline, but I'd like to think that it was, you know? I would like to think that they have enough foresight to be like, okay, we want to do this particular match in Hell in a Cell, so let's move the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view to this time of year so that it works. That, to me, I'd rather they still get rid of like the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, but if they want to do the Hell in a Cell match here and they move up the show to coincide with the storyline, that's at least closer to what we've been saying for years about like do the Hell in a Cell match when it matters as opposed to just like, this is the Hell in a Cell match because it's October. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, it's still not perfect. It's not all the way there, but it's about 50% of the way there. And that's closer to what I'm looking for. So,
yes.
I got my fingers crossed that that's what they were trying to do.
Agreed. Do you want to take these last chats?
Yeah, for sure. Davil Shaw comes in saying he's a big fan of Bailey calling Michael Cole an idiot. Me too. Also, I think the general commentary standards in every wrestling show have fallen over the past couple of years. Who would you pick on Raw instead of the Adnan Virk fellow? I don't know why calling him a fellow threw me off. Well, we already know who's going to be his replacement. It's going to be Jimmy Smith.
It's Jimmy Smith.
If I could have anyone in wrestling, like put Kevin Kelly on every show. Kevin Kelly's great.
Kevin Kelly's very good. Yeah, give me that. Genuinely? The thing is, it doesn't really matter who you put in the spot because they're Vince. It's just Vince talking, but fire a different mouthpiece. I really like Tom Phillips. Genuinely. I think he's a really good commentator, but he's just been saddled with being the play-by-play guy, which means he's got to do all the buzzwords and all the normal things that Michael Cole always does that we give him a lot of flack for. Obviously now not with the company anymore. Very sad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he would have been very good if he had the reins taken off him. Personally.
Kevin Cruz says, hey guys, first time Ultra Chat. So Pete, what kind of D&D character do you like to use more? Melee, attacker, or magic user, or something else? And for Tempest, what kind of wrestling moves do you like to perform? Grounded stuff or high flying stuff or other?
I like all of them. I'd like to play basically anything. I enjoy discovering all sorts of stuff when I play D&D and just being all sorts of different characters and just exploring those facets. Yeah, I like any, really.
Yeah, right on. As far as like wrestling goes, I enjoy doing a little bit of everything. I do like doing a bit more grounded mat wrestling sort of thing, you know? Like, it feels good to learn that, because actually being technical and like figuring out this is the way that the arm moves and you can go in and out of holds this way, it's really cool as opposed to just doing like a here's a big, big dive move, which is still also fun, but it's a different kind of fun. And Joshua Shepherd says, Chopper, you have talked about going back to the gym. As the fitness fanatic of LAW, I was curious what your guys' favorite workouts are. Also, are you guys excited about Josh Alexander versus TJP in an Ironman match from this week? LAW for life.
What's my favorite workout? I don't really enjoy working out. I like the results of working out. I don't really enjoy working out in particular, so I don't really have a favorite workout. My favorite kind of workout is one where I don't realize I'm working out.
Exactly. Yeah.
There you go.
My favorite workout is just doing wrestling class, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, it is a workout and you're getting your exercise in, but you're not like, okay, I've got three more sets of this and then I got to do a set of that, 10 more reps, whatever, whatever. That can get kind of like tedious if your head isn't in the right mind space for it. But if you just go and do wrestling, you get your cardio and you're lifting guys up, so you're getting a lot of your workout in. It's good stuff there. As far as the Josh Alexander match, I've heard very good things about it. I will do my best to find time to watch Impact. A lot of the time, that's very difficult.
Yes. I'm sure it'd be a great match. I struggled to get invested in anything to do with TJP.
Me personally. Too.
All right, we got a couple emails to get through today, Tempest. If you guys want to email in your stuff, please do so to support@wrestletalk.com, and we'll try and get through as many of them as we can on the show. We've got two today, I believe. I've got one here, first-time emailer. Got one here from, let's go with Hinata. They don't actually leave a name, but I'm going off their panel that they emailed in off. Why not? Says, hello, Lost Intangibles. Mistrust. That's probably would have been a smarter one to go with the name because they said it at the start of the email. Mistrust here, sending my first email. I don't have any dogs. I'm deathly allergic, but I do have cats. I would love to introduce you to one of my little girls who literally walked into my house off the street. Her name is Yasha. Yes, Pete, I named her after that Yasha from Critical Role. I love you so much for that name. That's the best. Thank you. My older girl, Gabby, is not a fan, but they get along okay. Jam that jam. Take over WrestleTalk from the fiendish Oliver and Luke. Take care. I love you all. Goodbye. So, Tempest, you know what it's time for. It's time for a bit of a screen share so you can see the cat.
For some kitten pictures. Let me see.
So cute.
It doesn't matter if it's a dog or a cat. A small animal is just the way to my heart.
Small animal.
It is. It's like half the size of that dish rack.
Yeah. Goodness me.
Good.
He's a sleepy girl.
Look at those whiskers.
Goodness me. That's.
Oh, it's tiny.
That's just a tennis ball. That's all that is. That's
hard
ridiculous.
To believe a creature so small can exist.
I know, right?
But it's like, yeah, you just accept that sort of thing. But as soon as you see one again, you're just like, oh my God, so tiny.
Oh, and then there's Gabby as well in that one. There's Yasha there and then Gabby. I see why you called them Yasha, by the way. I get it. I understand you, Mistrust.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, I knew you'd get that, Tempest. Sleepy Gals. Thank you so much for that email. We love that. Do more of that, please. Email in your pets to support@wrestletalk.com and we'll review them live on air. Chances are all of them will be just be they're great.
Yep.
But yes, thank you for that email, Mistrust. Five out of five,
perfect cat.
Yeah, 100%. Got another one here from Juan, who says, when the Emmys, amigos. So, Tempest, I watched Scott Pilgrim on Netflix today. You were right. It's a great movie. I really enjoyed it. It was weird to see Chris Evans and Brie Larson so young. Anyway, how are you doing? Anything new?
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. It is, in fact, one of my favorite movies, if you all couldn't tell by the various random Scott Pilgrim references and Easter eggs I've thrown into my reviews since I started doing them. Love that movie. I'm doing all right, you know? I can't I'm a little bit tired because of the AEW Dynamite stuff I had to do for the website. And the, of course, I then had to wait to do work for the news review. Just because I had to wait and make sure that nothing super monumental and news breaking happened on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And then it did.
And then it did.
which you've all seen because you've absolutely watched the news video. I know I have. Yeah. Yikes. But yeah, otherwise, I'm fine. I'm getting ready to watch the hockey game tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm praying that we're going to win. It's the Maple Leafs, dude. This is a different level of dread and terror. I don't think you're much of a sport guy unless I'm wrong. Are you a big football fan?
Depends what you mean, because no, I'm not. I don't follow sports at all. I do have a degree in coaching and sports science, though. So, you know, kind of a little bit, but not. Yeah.
I mean, I can only imagine that this same feeling is like what the Chicago Cubs fans felt for 108 years and whatnot. But I have a lot of confidence. I am not a fair weather fan, but it does feel sometimes like this team is cursed.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want them to shake that curse. And they could have won their first round series on Thursday. They went to overtime. They just needed one goal, and they would have moved on to the second round. Everybody would have rejoiced. It would have been the first time since 2004 that we've moved on to the second round. And then they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still in a decent position. Like, if we win tonight, we move on. If we win on Monday, we move on. But if they keep losing, which would be the Maple Leaf thing to do,
mm-hmm.
it's not looking good. So I got my fingers crossed.
Well, I'm sure it'll go great. Sports things always go to plan for every team. That's the way sports goes. I feel like I was going to ask you something after you finished. I'd literally had a thought in my head, and I was like, let's talk about that after Temp is done talking about the sports. And now it's just completely vanished. Wow. Anything you want to bring really to the table, Tempest?
Well, I just talked about hockey for like 5 minutes.
I've got nothing. My brain today is just like, no. Man, I'm a bit tired. I'm a bit on the downward curve, I think, today. Goodness me. I've got absolutely nothing.
Talk about you, Pete. I feel like we don't hear enough from you on these shows.
I have nothing to bring to the table because I don't do anything. That's the main thing of my life currently. I've been getting back into Overwatch League again recently.
Yeah,
Overwatch League's fun. Yeah.
I played Overwatch.
Yeah.
We can talk about that.
Yeah. I like Overwatch. It's a good game. I still haven't picked a team to support though. Because that's the thing. Generally when I'm following sports as well, I just want to see some fun games or some fun gameplay or whatever it is I'm watching. I just want to see a good thing. And I always feel like I get too hung up. If I actually pick like a team, I just get swept up in all of the like, well, I have to see this team do well. And when they don't do well, I'll feel sad if my team doesn't do well. Whereas if it was a really good game and my team lost, I'd still feel sad when if I didn't support a team, I'd just be like, hey, that was a really good game. And that's
how you feel.
Yeah. So I generally don't support teams, which is just weird, but it's fun because I enjoy watching some people be good at Overwatch, and that's what I enjoy watching. And we're getting a lot of that in Overwatch League this season, and it's good. So yeah, that's my life recently, is just watching Critical Role, which is about to end, and I'm really sad about it, and Overwatch League, and that's my life, and work.
Yeah, naturally. Yeah,
and that's all I got.
Who's your Overwatch main?
Well, I initially played, I haven't played in so long, but I initially played support on like Lucio and Brig, Brigitte. But then towards the tail end of when I did play Overwatch, I switched over to tank and made Rein. I do love a bit of Reinhardt. That's always good fun. And to a degree, Orisa as well, I was okay at, but Orisa was kind of like at the time in like the meta I was playing, and she wasn't very good, so I didn't really play her that much. Not very good at DPS because I can't aim, which is why I'm good for stuff like Brigitte and Reinhardt. Well, you don't really need to aim. Yeah. Who did you play?
See, I was the same way. So my mains were Junkrat.
I was half decent at Junkrat as well, yeah.
Yeah, you just shoot grenades everywhere. If a guy gets too close, throw the mine. And also Moira.
Moira was great.
Love Moira. You know, she was like the character. As soon as they popped in, I was like, oh yeah, okay, there's my new main. Just immediately stop playing everyone else. And you just find where people are hanging out, and you throw the little purple orb into that room. And just, I would do that and just kill players, and they wouldn't know where I was, and... Oh, such a good time. I've kind of fallen out of playing that game lately because it was, for like 2 years, it was the game that me and my high school buddies would just play, you know, over PSN. And then, you know, they started playing like Apex Legends or something like that. And I never really got into that. But I don't know, just kind of fell out of it. But it was very fun for a time.
Yeah. And I'd want to play it again. But the problem is that I used to play it on the PC that I used to have. Problem is, it was my ex's PC, and now she's moved out, and I don't have the means to play the game anymore. I could play it on my Switch, I guess, and that's the best I've got. Probably isn't the best console to play it on. I mean, playing it on console full stop probably isn't as good as PC, in my humble opinion.
Probably not.
Yeah, and my laptop will not run it. So,
yeah. You know,
I don't really have the means to play it right now, but I would want to at some point in the future. Anyway, we're going to have to go because we need to go live shortly for the actual main bulk of the show, which we've already technically recorded.
This is going to be a mess.
Yeah, it's going to be fine. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. Appreciate you guys as always. And hopefully, yeah, we'll catch you for more content soon. We've got Double or Nothing tomorrow. We're going to have a review of that on Monday. So keep an ear out for that one, where Tempest and I are going to defeat Luke and Ollie in Predictions Warfare. It's going to go down tomorrow as well. So you can check our live reactions to that too. And other stuff that we're doing. Okay, see you later. Bye, everyone. Buy the LIW merch at WrestleShop.com. Bye!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.